The problem of evil is perhaps the thorniest issue facing theologians. Clearly, God could prevent evil, but he doesn't. Since he's in charge, the wars and suffering around us must be a part of his plan for the world. For some, this creates a dilemma they cannot resolve. Are you among those who feel this way? Well, today, we'll face the issue head on. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer speaks on lie number 8, that the fall ruined God's plans. Even as we search the scriptures, we don't have God's perspective on the problem of evil.
God says, I'm giving you a letter that is truthful and it makes sense, but there's so much that you do not know. If you could see my hidden plans and what I'm working behind the scenes, and if you could see from all of eternity and understand that evil men keep railing and doing this evil and they're always still accomplishing my purposes, if you would understand that, then you would find that there is adequate reason to believe and to trust. And that's the thing that gives me hope, is that because God is in charge, these things that are so senseless to him obviously must make some sense. Now, if he wasn't in control, if this were only plan B, if he were trying to shore up something that kind of went out of whack and he was trying to come up with the best, then I would really wonder in my heart whether everything is really going to turn out okay. Yes, we can trust. We can trust. There is such a thing as the providence of God, which is both bitter and sweet, isn't there? The Old Testament, Naomi, you know, her name, I think, was Sweet, or rather, yes, and she said, don't call me Naomi. She said, call me Mara, call me bitter. She had lost a husband and two sons, and she said, the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me, because she understood that they died under his hand, even though they died of, quote, natural causes. There is something. But yet, for the saint who goes on believing, there is something sweet about knowing that God is bigger than these circumstances. Listen to the words of Sarah Edwards, the wife of Jonathan Edwards. He was only 54 years old and going to become president of Princeton University when he got smallpox. And they went to a doctor, and the doctor gave him a shot way back in 1758 that caused him to die. Would have been better, actually, if he had just had the smallpox. It was one of those cases where the cure was worse than the disease. Now, how did she take that? Did she rail against the doctors and say, well, why did they do that? How does God expect me to do it? That's the modern way, you see. But she had been instructed in the beauty of God's providence. She understood that these things do not happen without divine permission, and they come to us from his hand. She wrote to her oldest child, and she had 10 of them. What shall I say, she said, after her husband died? A holy and good God has covered us with a dark cloud. Oh, that we may kiss the rod and lay our hands on our mouths. The Lord, notice that, the Lord has done it. He has made me adore his goodness, that we had him so long, speaking of her husband. But my God lives, and he has my heart. Oh, what a legacy my husband, your father, has left us. We are all given to God, and there I am, and I love to be. Of course, we don't understand it all. But providence means that we go on believing because our faith is precious to God. It makes no sense to us. Let us admit that. But he knows all things. And what is it that Cowper said? Behind a frowning providence, there is a smiling face. There is a purpose. Last question. Can we worship? Oh, can we worship? When the Apostle Paul discussed the promises of God and the eternal plan of God in the book of Romans, chapter 9, where he talked about Pharaoh and the potter and the clay, and chapter 10, where he talks about Israel, and chapter 11, where he continues to talk about Israel, you remember he ends the benediction by saying, of him, that is creation, through him, that is redemption, and to him, that is consummation. Those are the three links that we talked about, are all things. Let me conclude by worshiping, even as Paul worshiped. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given to him and he has to give back in return? For of him and through him and to him are all things, both now and forever. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Praise be unto God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And with that, we bow to pray. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to be worshipers who do nothing but adore you and give you praise. For those, Father, who are going through trials, through the bitter aspects of providence, that dark cloud about which we just mentioned, we ask today, Father, grant them sustaining grace and help them through that cloud to see your providence and your grace. Father, for that which lies around us in ruins, for a world that is so disintegrated, help us to rejoice that in the end it shall be brought together under a just and holy, purposeful God. Create great faith in our hearts, we pray, for the little irritations of life as well as the tragedies. Grant us, O Father, a people who will know that in the end you shall triumph. And therefore, Father, we can never, never be pessimistic, for our hope is in you. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, we ask that this vision of God may create with them and in them a desire to say, yes, I too believe in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that for us, Father, for we are needy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Lutzer, if the fall always was in God's plan, how can he hold man accountable for the fall he preordained?
Well, Dave, once again, we are confronted with that mystery for which there is really no satisfying answer, I fear. The fact is that on the one hand, God preordains what comes to pass. That's good theology. That's the Westminster Confession of Faith. That's the writings of Paul and the teachings of Jesus. On the other hand, we are not robots either. And any view of humans that takes away their sense of accountability is unbiblical. But do human beings do the will of God? Did God foreknow the fall? Was the fall part of his plan? I believe that the answer has to be yes.
Is it a greater mystery for God to fashion redemption after man fell, or for him to intend man to fall in the first place?
I believe that God intended man to fall, if I'm reading your question correctly. But the fashioning of salvation actually took place long before the fall. In fact, Paul says in Timothy, he says that God has granted us his grace in Christ from all eternity. And then what about that verse in Ephesians that we are chosen in him from before the foundation of the world? Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the will and the purpose of God and his kindness toward us shown from all eternity. So you have these statements in the scripture, and there are many others that clearly show that the fall was not a surprise. Not only was it not a surprise, but it's not as if it was plan A and then God had to switch to plan B. This was plan A. Now, does that mean that there's evil in the world and that things have gone awry?
Yes, on one level, obviously, but on another level, the will and the purpose of God is being accomplished.
You said that the providence of God is both bitter and sweet. I have to ask this question. Is the providence of God, those words, a biblical concept or just a theological one?
Oh, yeah, I think it's biblical. For example, in Ephesians 1, it says that God rules all things after the counsel of his own will. There you have captured the whole idea of the providence of God. And throughout the Old Testament and the New, you have these references to God who rules among the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to whomever he wills and so forth. And what you really have is the sovereignty of God in the affairs of the world. That's providence.
Could not one say, though, that God's actions themselves could be viewed as both bitter and sweet?
I would say this, that all actions of God are sweet, because everything that God does is right and good and beautiful. But I'm looking at it from our standpoint. For example, a friend of mine, a ministerial friend of ours, died recently, and I was talking to someone who is close friends with this man, and he said it was a bitter providence. Now, what that man meant was that the man died within the providence of God, but for those of us who knew him and loved him, it's a bitter providence. But looked at from the standpoint of eternity, everything that God does is right and good and sweet and correct.
One wonders, is the will of God always being done on earth?
Depends what you mean by the will of God. His revealed will? Absolutely not. It's broken every single day by us and by a host of others. God says that we should be kind. God says thou shalt not kill. All of those commandments are being broken by human beings. But it seems to be clear that the Bible also has an eternal, hidden will of God. I referred a moment ago to the fact that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. That will is always being done. For example, the will of God to Moses was that Pharaoh was to let the people go. Yet the secret will was, God said, I will harden his heart so that he won't. So the secret plan of God is always being accomplished.
I have to ask this question. Maybe listeners have it in their minds as well. Can we trust a God who is so sovereign that his plans are never frustrated, that in fact he foreordains even such things as the fall itself, which seems to be so evil?
Dave, I want you to just look me in the eye, and we're going to talk in this studio and allow everyone else to listen, because this is my heart now, okay? I would say that that's the only kind of God we can trust. I couldn't trust a God who had plan A and then had to shift to plan B because plan A wasn't working out. The fact that God is sovereign gives me this confidence that every injustice will someday be answered by justice. Every wrong will, in some sense, have its right. And every negative experience will in some way contribute to the glory of God and become a positive experience. And every evil will someday be turned to some high and glorious good. I have that confidence because I believe that God is sovereign and I do trust him.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Tomorrow, folks, the next lie we're going to hear about from Dr. Lutzer, the lie that we must choose between God's will and our happiness. Be sure to join us then. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded the lie that the fall ruined God's plans. The 8th of 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Tomorrow, lie number 9, that we must choose between God's will and our happiness. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. 10 Lies About God can be yours as a series on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.